All right, everyone, welcome back to Section. Hopefully you all had a great Halloween weekend, or Halloweekend, as I like to say. All rested and recovered, and thankfully it's not snowing anymore. It's actually sunny outside. I was real happy about that. Not ready to drag out my winter boots. Hopefully PSET 6 went pretty well. If you are tired of C, I'm happy to say you're done with C for now. We have fully transitioned into web programming, so you'll be working in HTML, PHP, maybe a little bit of JavaScript. I don't know what next week's PSET is, so I can't guarantee what your next PSET will be. But this week's PSET is CSVD Finance, which is basically implementing this sort of web page that allows you to buy and sell stock and keep track of them. And it's pretty cool, because all of it is dynamically generated. You can have different users who each have their own information, and you're going to be implementing all of that. It takes a while. I definitely think this is kind of easier than C PSETs, but it takes longer. You're learning a new language, PHP, which is very similar to C, but of course it's going to require you to look up syntax and understand how to convert between the languages. But I don't think there's anything super conceptually hard about this PSET. It's just learning the new language and getting through all these little pieces. If you guys have read through the spec, it's pretty long. I think this one is like 21 pages, if I remember correctly. It's a long spec. So if you haven't read it, 32, wow. So I was off by 50% there. So 32 pages. So it's long. There are lots of pieces, but none of the pieces should be like that bad. It's just a lot. So I definitely get started early, if possible, as per usual. But I think it should feel a little nicer than especially like the PSETs like Recover and Resize that are just very hard to wrap your head around. So with that, we're going to dive in. I don't have your agenda slide today, but we're going to be talking about PHP. I'll be giving you kind of like a crash course on some things that you might want to know about PHP, different syntax things, things to look out for. We're going to be talking a little bit about SQL, just very simple things there, and then also MVC, which is Model View Controller, which is how your PSET is set up. So understanding how that works will be super useful. All right, so PHP. You guys should have done something, you know, very, very simple with PHP, which is this bottom thing here, where you submitted some form in the top here that had some name that you input, and it would say, like, hello, Ben, or hello, Allison, and it would pop up. So this is actually what it should have looked like from your PSET, in case you guys wanted to know or didn't quite figure it out. But we have these question marks here that indicate that this is PHP. They wrap it. And then HTML special charge, remember, is just make sure that you're safe from any crazy injection attack. If someone tries to put crazy malicious characters into your name field, it doesn't like run up your server or whatnot. And then if we notice, this HTML form had a method of get, which, if we remember, are super globals from PHP, get, post. We'll be going into those in a little bit. But we know that we have some name here that corresponds to the name that we submitted. So this is just kind of like the very simple PHP HTML collaboration that you guys had from PSET 6. But that doesn't really answer like what is PHP. Obviously, it's a language, but we haven't really talked about it in Section. So there's a little bit more about what PHP actually is. So PHP is just PHP Hypertext Preprocessor. It's actually considered a programming language because it has logic. Whereas if we remember talking about HTML, we called that a markup language versus a programming language, because HTML is strictly modifying how things look on the page. It's just modifying whether something's bold or whether it's a form element or something like that. It doesn't have any logic. It doesn't have loops or conditions. You can't, you know, error check things. You can either display things in a certain way or ask for things from the user. But that's it. So with PHP, it actually does allow us to do all of these more logical things, like validate the input or manipulate it in some way. We can combine it with HTML, as we just saw in your last PSET and right now. And it allows us to create these dynamic web pages. So if you guys ever, I don't know if you were like me, but in like middle school, they had us take this like IT class where we created just like HTML web pages, and they were static and like click around to other things, but they never changed. With dynamic ones, what we can do is if you, like with CS50 Finance, you're going to have different users. Depending on those users' preferences and what they're buying or what they're selling for their stocks, you're going to display different things. So if there is some identifying characteristic for your user using this web page, we can dynamically decide what to display for them. It's not the same thing for every single person, which if we just had HTML, the page would be the same for every single person who visited. PHP allows us to personalize pages. And then we can either put them in the same file, which, as in the case before here, we saw that we have HTML all here, and then we have this little bit of PHP, which we can do like that. Or with CSV Finance, if you guys have looked at the files, and we should have time to step through a couple of them together at the end of the section, we can see how you can actually keep them separate, which is actually a better thing to do. So, crash course. All of the quick, simple things that you might need to know for PHP. So, declaring variables. Oh wait, that blue is a little annoying, but hopefully you guys can see it. If not, I'll write it on the chalkboard. So, declaring variables. One thing to know is that unlike C, PHP is loosely or dynamically typed, which means that you don't need to tell a variable what type it is. You can just simply say, you know, some variable is equal to whatever you want it to, and it will decide the type of that variable at runtime for you. As you'll see, this can create some very interesting things, but for most purposes, you don't need to specify the type. You can, and you can typecast things like you normally would in C if you want to force it to be a certain type, but you don't have to. It's not going to yell at you if you just declare a variable and don't specify a type for it. So in case you can't read this, I know it's not the best. I thought it would show up better. The way you initialize any variable is just with a dollar sign, what you want it to be called, and then what you're assigning it to be. So in this case, this is some dollar sign var equals 3. So if we ever use dollar sign var somewhere, it will just be the same as putting 3 there. Okay. So any variable, just dollar sign, whatever you want to call your variable, and then whatever you want it to equal. A little cooler, less to write for initializing a variable, right? Does that make sense to everyone? Just quick syntax difference between C and PHP. Arrays are much cooler in PHP. We can give them keys. So the way to kind of think about it is that if we ever wanted to access an element within an array, we needed to know the index of it, right? So we know that with C, we could access like the first element by doing array bracket 0, or if we want the first element, array bracket 1. And if we wanted something in there, we might just have to iterate through, unless we actually knew the index. One thing that is really cool with PHP arrays is that they're what we call associative. So we can associate some key to some value. And we're actually going to, I will show you how we can use this in a second. But basically, if you ever want to initialize an array like that, you have some dollar sign array. So in the same way, it's just some variable that we're creating. This could be called whatever you wanted. This could be dollar sign example. It's just another variable. What makes it an array is the bracket syntax that we have here, just like normal C. And we have some key to some value. So key 1 goes to value 1. Key 2 goes to value 2. These pairs are separated with a comma, just like normal arrays. However, big one, keys are optional. You don't have to use them. And if you don't, then it's just normal. Question? Or okay.
Well, but like the array, is it, do you take, where's the memory coming from? Like, can it also be the same like malloced and from the stack? Like, is that also used in PHP? Like when we're making them?
With PHP, we don't tend to worry about like where our memory is coming from. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that, so it's not really anything you need to worry about. Keys are optional. So in the same way, if you don't want to make this like associative, you just want a normal array where, you know, array 0 is the first element and array 1 is the second element. You can do it exactly as you would in C. You have some variable that's going to be your array, and it equals these brackets here. Yes?
Point notation, like how you can do like array plus plus, and that's like points to the second one.
You can do, well, you can have some iterator I that you can do I plus plus and do like array of I in the same way, but that's it. So like in this case, array of 1 would equal 20, same sort of indexing notation. This is basically just like an implicit thing here where it says 0, 0 to 10, to 1 to 20, 2 to 30. It's just like implicit keys for it. What changes with PHP is that you now have the power to reassign those keys to be whatever you'd like. So one thing is here. So I have just some like examples here that I wrote up for you guys because I feel like examples always help more than just the abstract. So in this case here, we have some associative array, right? That is my first name and my last name. And I am echoing, which is just for all purposes here, is just going to print out to the output here. And it says, okay, print out the value that corresponds to array at key Allison. And I can also send you guys all this code after class. So when we run this, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to print out?
I lost.
My last name. It does. Right here. Bam. So if we were to change this and we were to add someone else to our list, so let's say we have Emma here and we associate your last name. Let's see if I spell this right.
Yes. Good job.
Lovely. So now we have this here and we wanted to take... You wanted to find your last name. We have it there. So you can just think of it as replacing this key here. You're just replacing like the index. So it allows you to just like search through an array much easier. You don't need to know the index. As long as this key that you're looking for exists somewhere in the array, PHP will find it, and it will return the value associated with it. So it gives you a lot more power with your arrays.
If you did two keys the same, it'll give you an error.
It should give you an error, yeah. Gotcha. Does that make a little more sense for you guys? And in the same way, we have an array here that doesn't have any keys. Also, this is kind of a syntax that you might want to be aware of because you'll have to use this in your pset. Whenever you're doing like an echo, you have these quotes. And whenever you're referring to like part of an array, you have to have these curly braces around them. It's kind of annoying, but you just have to do it. So just something to keep in mind. If you're running into errors of like, I know that this exists in my array, but it's throwing errors at me, try putting braces around it, and it should work. So in this case here, this is kind of like a normal C array that we're used to. It has 3, 5, and 6, and we just want to print out the first element. So this should print out 3. And I did run all these, so hopefully nothing changed. So yeah, we see at the bottom here, it just prints out 3. Cool. That makes sense for everyone? Associative arrays, much cooler than normal arrays. This is why, did David show you the PHP implementation of pset 6 during lecture at all? OK, so I'll show you. I don't know it off the
top. Like last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah.
So like speller can be done in like 6 lines with PHP. And part of the power of that is this associative array where you can just load each word in and you have it equal to true or false. And so you can say, return array or like return dictionary at some word. And if it's there, it'll return true. Otherwise, it won't find it and it'll return false. So kind of a cool little thing. All right, so those are associative arrays. They're pretty cool. I really like them. And obviously, this just doesn't. Ah, OK. Now it's working. Maybe. OK, another thing. So with equality, just a cool thing to keep in mind. With PHP, because it is dynamically typed, the type can change depending on like when you run it, how you're running it. I actually have some cool examples that I'll show you guys. But double equals just checks for equality after type juggling. So if you have something that's like the character one and the number one, PHP would tell you that those are equal because it can juggle the types of the two of them until it's equal. If you need, which maybe for your case is fine, if you need to see if they are the same kind of value and the same type, you want this triple equals. And I don't think you have any case where you need to use that in your PSET, but for a lot of you who will go on to do like web pages for your final projects and things, it's a good thing to know that double equals and triple equals are different, and it's a good distinction to understand. Okay, so for each loops, they are a way to iterate through an array. So just like arrays became so much cooler in PHP, your way to iterate through an array, I think, also becomes much cooler and much more powerful. So instead of having to create some, you know, for I equals 0 and whatever, and then update that I as we go through, we have this awesome for each loop. So here's kind of the standard general, what's the word I want, structure of these two. So you either have for each some array as the value you want to iterate as. So this is the name of the array variable that you want to reference. And this is what you want to call it within the loop. Okay, so this corresponds to like each element of the array. And you use this value within this loop. I have an example. I know examples are so much better. And so this is if there are no keys. So this is like if we just have one where the keys are the normal indices for your array. Or this is also in the case if you have no use for the keys. If you don't care about the keys and you just want to iterate through with the values for each of those in whatever order, that's fine. You can use this structure. Otherwise, if there are keys, our dollar sign value just changes to key value. So it just changes to a key value pair. And then we can refer to key and value within our loop. Okay? So, example, to make it nicer. Okay, so we have this one here, which we have some. You can also, I don't have this on here, you can also create an array like this by having some variable equal to array with parentheses, or you can just do bracket. You should do the bracket, but this is another way to do it. So here we have some array of three elements, of 1, 2, and 3, and we have our for each. Notice this one corresponds to the array that we're iterating over, and this is what we are calling each thing in our array, okay? And all this is doing is it's going to print out each value, okay? So if we run it, we notice that we have value 1, value 2, value 3, okay? And in the same way that typically arrays need to be of one type, arrays don't have to all be the same type here. So now we have some int, we have two strings. So your arrays can get much more powerful and maybe a little bit messier depending on the way you want to look at it. So we can change this to whatever we want. We use value. That's kind of just the standard thing we use, but just important to know that we can call this like counter if we wanted. And as long as they match up, obviously everyone's happy. And yeah, if you ever want to run in a PHP, run something like this command line, you notice here, you just do PHP and then whatever file you want to run. So if you want to mess around with PHP and more of the logic and you don't really need to see it like in a web browser, you can just run it in the command line like that. And echo will print out whatever you'd like. Okay. The other way that we have this. So this is a case where maybe you want to use both the key and the value. And I know these are like super contrived examples, but I hope they make it a little clearer. So here we have some array again, but this time instead of just having, you know, there's no key, we have keys for each of these. So A is going to be 1, B will correspond to 2, and C will correspond to 3. And in this case, if we write it this way, we have access to both key and value for each of these. So when we run this, we get each of those. So it prints out our keys and corresponding values. Another cool thing is that, I know I said like this one didn't have keys, but it always implicitly has a key, because if you don't designate a key, of course, your keys are just your indexes or your indices. So we could always also do this one like this. I will print out. So in this case, if you notice, we have our implicit keys of 0, 1, and 2 here. And the same way with this one, you could always just say R as value, and you just have access to the value. If you don't care about your keys, even if your array has keys, if you don't care about them, you don't necessarily need to put them in your for each loop. Does that make sense for everyone?
Can you just call the keys too?
Yeah, you could totally do that too.
What, no? Like R
actually,
as
wait,
key.
Hold on. Would it? No, if you want the keys, you need to do key to value. And you just never use value is all.
Okay.
If you just put one thing in there, it's going to assume that you're talking about the value, not the key. Great question. All right. Cool. Actually, hold on, let me see. I have. So before we get into like post and get, I just want to show you guys a little bit about how it's dynamically typed, which is kind of cool. So I have all these, I have like 4 examples up here. And I will send you all this code after class. So here we have some variable A. That's just 1 plus 1, right? And we're going to print out what that's equal to. And then we have some type. And anyone have any guesses about what the type of this is going to be? Yeah, it's an int. So you just add them together, it's an int. All good. So this next one, we have what look like strings, right? When we run this, it thinks, oh, you're actually trying to just add things and you just got confused. So I'm just going to fix it for you. You meant int. I know you meant int. So this is like one of the ways you can see like PHP like has a mind of its own. Even though we explicitly said, look, these ones are strings. Like, I mean the string one. But it says, oh, but you're trying to add them. So like you must mean it's an integer. Like, you just trust me on this. So it says it's an integer, and it adds them like normal. So kind of cool if you kind of get like lazy with your things or you want to like add something. A great thing is that if you think back to pset 2, something that was user inputted, right, that we think is a char or a string at first, now we don't have to explicitly say, oh, make this an int. PHP would just be like, oh yeah, I know you meant an int. Like, silly you. You didn't mean a string. So in that case, now that we have this, what do you guys think it's going to do here? We have a string and an int now.
Still an int?
It's still an int. It's still like, and the reason it's doing this, I would come up with more examples, but I thought this was fun. The reason it's doing this is because it's like you're trying to add things. So like, if you're trying to add things, I'm going to assume like reasonably, if it's something reasonable that you could add, I'm just going to make it an int. We're just going to add it like usual. And then the same way, I think you guys get the idea. We also have this one here, which is just chars. And it does the same thing. It's like, you silly user, you know you want an int. Like,
if you put like a letter, will it do the ASCII value or not?
That's a good question. Let's see. Nope. So It's a little crazy. This is just kind of show you PHP can sometimes behave in irrational, like, not like totally irrational, but it might behave in ways that you don't really expect. So when in doubt, check the types of things. This function, getType, can be super useful. Typically, if you're doing anything with like pluses or any mathematical operators, it's going to assume like anything reasonable is just an int. So if you have a char one or a string one or the actual int one, it's going to assume that. If you want to typecast anything, you totally can. You could do something like a double here, I believe. Let's change this back to one. And in that case, it's going to say, oh, I'll make this a double because you explicitly said it's a double. You can always explicitly make PHP do something, but...
Wait, why is a plus 1, 2?
Oh, this should be 1. There. It was just an echo. Yeah. That was my fault. So you can explicitly tell it to make something of a certain type, but most of the time, it's going to dynamically decide that at runtime. So it's going to like keep going through, and it's going to be like, okay, what makes the most sense for this to be? Should it actually be a string? Should it be an int? Should it be a float? Should it be a double? And it will decide that for you. You can force it to do what you want it, but...
Does it make it slower?
I don't... Well, I mean, C is very efficient. I think it's definitely slower because it has to like process it going. C, I'm almost sure, is faster. But obviously, there's a lot of cool things in here that we don't have to worry about. So like if we're searching through an array, we don't have to actually create some search through the array. We can just ask for the key, and PHP will take care of it. Cool. Awesome. So that's the end of my examples. You guys are like never going to forget that now. You're going to be like, oh, PHP is just like that mom's like, no, 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 I know what you need. I know what you want. OK, so this is hopefully useful for your PSET, at least in the very beginning, because you were all about dealing with forms and things from the user. So there are two ways that we pass around info with PHP and HTML when we're passing between those two things. So we have get, which is passed through the URL, and we have post, which is passed in the message body, and so we consider it like hidden. But one thing to understand is that neither of these are considered secure. If you have someone who you know, is intercepting the messages going back and forth between you and the server, they can still get this data. They just have to look a little harder. It's not really that. It's just hidden from the URL. It's still in the message body, though. So if they have access to that, it's really just like, it's like the difference between something being written on the outside of an envelope and something being written on a piece of paper inside. It's not that hard to open the envelope and get the piece of paper inside. Granted, it'd be much easier to just read the outside, but that's how you can kind of think of these. Neither of these are really considered secure. Okay? Granted, doesn't really matter for your PSET because you're not dealing with like trade secrets, but it's typically one thing that we really like to emphasize because people think, oh, well, it's hidden. Like it must be like super secure. No, it's not secure. It's just slightly less insecure, I guess, or unsecure. So we actually have an example. As you know, I love to teach more with examples. I feel like this helps better. So we have some simple form here, which actually, if you guys are ever confused about PHP, this is really small, but php.net is actually really good documentation. I really like it. I was using it to prepare for this section, so I can vet it for you. This is an example from them on like how post and get kind of work. The only difference between the two of these, besides where the information is displayed, whether it's in the URL or in the body, is also what the method is. So in your form for HTML, this is a very simple HTML form. Can anyone tell me what it does? What is it asking for?
Just ask for your name and age.
Exactly. So we have some form action, so this lets us know it's some form. And what's going to happen is, when we hit submit, it's going to call action.php, which is what this is, okay? And it's going to call it with a method of post. So in this case, your information is hidden, okay? And it's just your name, some input type called name, some age, input type text that we also call age. So, and then if we hit submit, submit will call action.php. So when we actually hit submit, we know that it has posted, per se, and we'll actually see this in your problem set that hopefully we'll get to walk through a little bit. And all it's doing here is post is some super global variable that we talked about during lecture. And how you can think about post is that it's just an associative array, okay? So this is some key, this is some key, and whatever the user input becomes a value for each of those, okay? So if we were to write what this array actually looked like right after we submitted the form, we would have, so this is our post, okay? And some array, so we have some name. And let's just say we'll do, that's my, do my name. And then we have some age. That is 21. Woo. Okay. So this is all post is. Post is just an associative array. Okay? It just says, okay, what are the things we've asked for from the user? What are the variables that we're passing around that we've asked for in this form? And then what are the values associated with that? So in this case, if I submitted it with a name of Allie and an age of 21, this is what post looks like, okay? And this is what this PHP file has access to, all right? So in this case, this is just like getting any other thing from our array. Instead of an index in our array, we have some key. So this is going to give me the value at key name. So this is going to be Allie, and this right here is going to give me the value at post where the key is age, which will be 21. Okay? You're going to be doing this quite a bit. there is, no. Yeah, from which part?
The when you were pointing at the right. This is the bottom part.
This bottom part? Yeah. Okay. So you understand, so this is our HTML form. Mm-hmm. And we have some method post, which matters. This could also be get, but for this purpose, we're just going to say it's post. When we submit this form, this is part of a PHP file that's called. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this PHP file is now going to execute, given the information from our HTML form. Okay, so what it's doing is when we hit submit on our HTML form, it's passing you this super global, mm-hmm. which is just an associative array. Which is this, okay? It's just like passing that to the file. So what it says is, okay, here's post, it's your associative array, do with it what you want. And we're saying, okay, give me the value at name and give me the value at age. So these are just keys and this is our array, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank you. If you like resubmit the form, does it just write over the data?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you have to specify that it's an int? Or like, does it work for this time?
In this case, you're just—it's the user is just forcing it to be an int.
Okay.
I don't know if you would actually need that, but for their purposes, they decided that they wanted it to be an int. They're just typecasting it. Maybe they're using it as something else later on. This is just like one snippet. Yes.
What if they like types like like 12 like T W E L V for age?
I forget if they tried to type that as an int.
Yeah.
I forget what that does. I think it might try to like convert the first character to an int or like take the ASCII value and convert it. But I forget exactly what it does. Be a fun thing to write a program and try. You could do it with a couple lines. Okay. So this is one of the main things that you're going to be doing. I'm going to hopefully walk through a couple of the files in the PSET with you guys. It looks like we're going to have time. So we can do that. But you're going to be doing a lot of things like this, where you're passing things from an HTML form into this PHP form that will then execute some set of instructions on the data that was provided. And that's literally the gist of your PSET. Yeah?
So the type equals submit that makes a button kind of that on the HTML form. Is there a way to like call that button something? So would you be like name equals submit? Or was that button just going to be empty right now? Because you only gave it a type, not a name.
I think it's just going to be empty right now. we can definitely look in the PSET because we will definitely be looking at like the register kind of thing. But yeah, you can definitely like specify the text that you want on your button. Okay, so SQL. Even so, when you're buying and selling stocks, you need to keep track of those. So the way we're going to do that is with SQL, which is just a database. You can just think of it as a table where you're keeping all this information about your different users. And you guys are actually going to create one of these. It's pretty cool. And there are just four main things that you need to know for this PSET. And they are update. So you basically update the data. That assumes that it's already there. If it's not there, it's going to hit you with an error. So maybe you want to check. And you will update on, I should actually, if I have time, I'll write a couple of things. I will actually give you guys a couple of like sample, like full SQL commands, because these are just like the main ones, but you can like join them together. So I'll do that, and I'll send that out to you with these notes. So if you want to update something, you need to tell it what you're updating and where you're updating it. So a typical SQL command would be update like ID where something equals something, where like, or like update address where ID equals 3. And this would update the address field of your user who has an ID of 3. Okay, so if you go to SQL and W3 schools, they have awesome examples. In fact, I might pull some up in a little bit. And then insert into, you're just inserting certain values there. So if you're trying to create some new entry, so you're creating a new user, you could do insert into whatever your database is called, and you would have all these values. Then you have select values to view. So if you're trying to check to see if a user exists, or you're trying to grab specific information about a user, you're going to be using select. And then delete, I think, is pretty simple there. You're just deleting something from the table. And in fact, let me actually pull up some examples for you guys. Oh, look, it's my 61 page. So if we go to W3 schools, hopefully it's up again. Yes, love it. So we go to SQL. So this is something here. So this is a very simple select. Man, I love this function. Okay, so you can have select some field from customers. In this case, customers refers to the online database that you're using, so whatever your table is called. And star just means select everything. Give me everyone. So I just want to give you guys a couple of examples of where this is. Okay. So we have select, update. Okay. So here is kind of the general syntax. So update, whatever your table name is, and then set is where you're actually going to be, what data you're changing. So this could be, let me make an example here. So this is going to be, so I create a little database for us. We're going to have some ID, some year, and some name. So ID 1 is going to be year 15. So we're just going to make it me. Who wants to be the second person in our table? Anyone? I'm just going to choose Emma because your name's quick. Emma, what year are you? Yeah, 16. You're just going to be my guinea pig for today. OK, so we have these two people. Actually, let me do this. Let's say I like heard her wrong, and I actually said she's a year younger. She's 17. What we want to do here, if we wanted to update Emma's year to be correct, using that, what we'd do is we'd say update data right over here. And this can all be on one line, but since I'm kind of compressed for space here, I'm going to write here. And we want to set. So this is the table we're updating. Set is going to be what column or what data are we actually changing. So what we're changing is year. So we're going to say set year equal to 16. And then where tells us which user or like what row are we actually updating this. So where, we have two options here. What are the two? These are unique, right? So our names are unique and our ID is unique. So what are the two options for where we could do this? I'll give you one. We could do where ID equals 2, or we could do what if we're going off this kind of paradigm here? Exactly. So we could also do name equals Emma. And either of these would work. And we ran this, it'd be like, okay, we'll change it. You're actually 16. So now you're right again. Okay? So this would be super useful in your PSET where maybe someone decided to buy 100 shares of Apple and then they were like, just kidding, I only want 90 shares. And so, you know, they sell 10 of them, so you need to update the amount of stocks that they have. So updating stocks, updating table. Okay, so that's one example there. So the update syntax. Delete. Oh, insert into is our other one. So this one here is very similar. We could just say, in this case, let's add someone. We can add Ben this time. We do insert into. And we want the name of our table. In this case, it's data. And then we just want, you're going to say values. And what you're going to do is you actually need to make sure that like you have something for each row that you want. You just put them in order. So in this case, we would say 3. You're 18, right, Ben? Right? Your year's 19? You graduate in 18, right? Graduation year. I was like, are you planning to take a year off here? Okay, so 18, and we have Ben. So in this case, it would go through. We create a new entry here. Cool. Not too bad, right? A lot of this is going to be syntax for you guys. Concepts should come hopefully relatively easily. The syntax is the only thing that can be a little tricky. And then our last one is delete. And as you notice, I highly recommend this website. It's great. There's a ton of stuff. So in the same way that we had some update, delete is very similar. Instead, we have delete from data. So in this case, our last one, I'll write down here. Let's say we wanted to delete me. I cannot write today. Delete from whatever table we're in data. And there are actually 3 ways we could choose to delete me. Can you guys tell me what the 3 ways are, how you could delete me? ID equals 1, where ID equals 1. We could do where year equals 15, or where name equals Allison. Of course, there are only 3 different ways because these are all unique. Typically in your table, and especially in your PSET, you're going to set one of these columns to be unique. It's probably going to be some unique ID number, because if you have, actually it might actually let you have 2, I can't remember if it'll let you have 2 of the same thing. It'll cause behavior that is unexpected, that you can't really predict. So you will definitely have 1 column in your database that will be unique. And it's typically you can set it so that it's like a unique ID, and it will just update every time you insert into the table. Anytime you create a new row, it will automatically increment and give it some unique ID. So hint for your piece. Okay, so that is SQL. So now we're going to talk about like the very last thing, which ties in actually pretty well with your piece, if it would go forward. So MVC, Model View Controller. This is really just a way to keep things organized. In the same way with C, we ask you guys to create functions and separate things out. This is just a way to separate out code when you're doing web development. So it makes things much more elegant and simplified. And this is actually the way that your PSET is actually set up. So whether you like it or not, you're going to learn it, even if you don't think you're learning it. And one thing, it also allows you to do much more like user collaboration. So when I took CS50, I did a website for my final project. And I was like, I'll handle like the database stuff. Like, I'll do like back-end stuff. And my roommate, who I was taking with it, was very like artsy. She like does like stage design, and she wanted to make it all pretty. So I was like, OK, you can take care of all the front-end stuff. And the thing is, as we'll see very soon, is that Model View Controller lets you completely separate that code so that I could work on like implementing like our pages and manipulating information in our databases, and she could just make things pretty. And we were both really happy because we got to do what we both wanted, and we didn't have to deal with the other one. So, I mean, we hung out together. We like to hang out. I just didn't want to deal with like all the CSS and HTML stuff. I was like, you make it pretty. I'll deal with the database. So we have this really cool, great little table. I love tables. And basically, the model you can think about is just your database. So I was a model person for my project. It's all about the storage of information and organizing that data. So it's what we like to call like backend in a sense. So you guys will be dealing with the SQL database and the data files. That's your model. Your view, as you might think, kind of makes sense. It's what your user actually sees. It's the user interface. It's that front-facing component. So that's what my roommate got to work on all the time. And she was super happy. So that's all of the HTML. And there's very little PHP. If you're just talking about what's being displayed to the user, we're talking about, you know, like hypertext. We're talking about how it looks. We're not talking about logic or conditions or whatnot. All of that gets handled by the controller. Okay? So that handles the user requests and gets the information. So one thing you should know about your PSET is that in your views, anything that is actually like displaying information should never be making calls to your model. All of that is handled in your controller. Your controller is the one kind of mediating between these two. It will ask the model for certain information. It can iterate over that information, figure out what you actually need from it, what to do with it. And then it will pass on just the information you need to the view for you to print it out or display it to the user. Okay? Because we see the view as like whatever is facing the user. So it would be much easier for them to figure out, oh, if you're making some call to your model and you're asking for, you know, all users who start with the letter A, and you're doing that in your view, anyone who can see your web page could potentially access that. You don't necessarily want that. You don't want people to see more into the database than what they should be seeing, like just their specific preferences. So the controller handles all of that. So all of your like .php files that we'll see are, you can consider your controller files. And that's where you're really going to be like asking for things from your database and iterating or manipulating it as necessary before passing it on to be viewed. It's a really cool piece set, in my opinion. I think it's a little more like instant gratification because you like implement a lot of little tiny things, and each thing should work on its own, not like do everything and then see if it works. Like with server, where you're like, I'm really hoping this is right, because like if it's not, there are a lot of places it could be wrong. All right, just making sure that I said everything I needed to say about MVC. Yeah, cool. So in CSV Finance, we have our model, as I just said here. It's going to be MySQL and PHP MyAdmin. I can definitely pull those up so you guys get a chance to look at it. As I said before, your SQL database acts as your model, and you can send what we call queries, which are just these sorts of things. These are called a query. This is a query where you're just asking your database for something or you're changing your database in some way. That's all it is. And you do that with the functions we've given you here. You can also manipulate them by hand via phpMyAdmin, which we can definitely take a look at. I'll create a sample database with you guys. Okay, so controller. So in this case, if you notice, this is all PHP. Notice that's the kind of your main thing of your controller is that it should be mostly PHP. If you have HTML in your controller, not really sure what's going on there. It's the same way, as I said, if you manage to segfault with HTML, I'm real interested. So what we have here is you have some query. Query is a function that we built for you guys. It's like a wrapper to make queries to your database a little easier. If you didn't have that, the syntax for actually talking to your SQL database would be different. So we just simplify it for you guys. We like to make life easy. So in this case, can you guys tell me what this line is doing? So it selects star from some table.
Select everything from this table.
Exactly. So it's saying, give me everything from this table. And it's storing it in some variable result. And this says, if result is not equal to false, then we do each of this. So if there's nothing here, if like your table's empty or just like doesn't exist, it's going to return false. So in this case, we're just making sure that something was actually returned to us. And then here, we have our great for each loop. So we're iterating over our result, and we're calling it row. And we say, render this template where your data is this result. OK? So it's just processing the row of the result. Otherwise, it yells. So this is an example of the controller. As you see, this is the only place. Yes, sorry.
Why is there an ampersand before row?
An ampersand before row. We are just iterating. So that's also an address of.
Okay. So it's like.
It's just it's making sure that you're actually like modifying the original and not a copy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in the same way with C where we're passing by reference here, just to make sure. Mm-hmm.
Is it not equals instead of not equals in PHP?
It's not equals equals.
Because usually in C
it's just not equals. Yeah, no, it's not equals equals in C. Because equals equals in PHP checks for equality with toggling granted, but checks for equality, so it just, it's not equals equals in PHP. It's one of the little syntax differences. So we're just iterating through each row, and we are render, if you guys read through your spec, is just some other function that is actually going to process all the HTML and display it in your web browser for you. Okay, so we like to think of your controllers as what handles like the business logic. As you see here, this is where we're taking our data from the table. We are processing it in some way, and then we're passing it off. When we do render some template is our view, and we're passing it only the data that it should get. Not all the data, just the data that we want it to get. Okay? Basically the data after processing. So this is the view, this is the some template that we have, and all this is doing is you can have a little PHP in your view. It's not like a no PHP in view. You should just have very minimal PHP in view, and you should never be querying in a view, okay? You should never be talking to your database in a view. That's the big difference. So what's going on here is we have PHP that's iterating through the row. So in this case, since we were iterating through each row and rendering something, this was probably like a two-dimensional array where we have some row that is in itself an array because we're iterating through it again. And we are just printing out the row name and then end it. But you shouldn't need this end for each. I've never seen that before, actually. I just do for each. OK, so that's the view. Let's see if we can walk through a little bit of your pset. We have 15 minutes, so I'm sure you guys would like that more than just ending early. so let me see if I can bring this up. So I don't know how many of you guys have like downloaded and whatnot yet, but we have some username here, and we have some password, and Unfortunately, right now, our database is empty. So we need to, you actually need to like create a database. Well, that's weird. Did not expect that. Technical errors, technical difficulties. Okay, so we have some pset 7. Create. Cool. So you can either, one thing you can do is with a query here, oh, we need to create a table. So this is going to be users. So what you can do here is, if we have some, really now? Okay, obviously, I'm not doing so hot. Oh, I know why, because I'd never created my actual tables. So when you first start with a database, you obviously have to decide, like, what are the things I need to have in here? So if we just kind of go off our data table here, we had some ID, which we can just stay an int. And if we look over here, there's a cool thing that, so index, if you do primary, it will make it kind of like the thing that your table is organized by, and it will also make it unique. So in this case, we'll make it primary, and I'm just going to make this name, and we'll just make it a varchar of like 26 letters, because why not? And then you can go to save. And then if you see, we have some users here. So if we wanted to do an insert, we could do it this way. Or if you wanted practice with your queries, oh boy, I have not used them forever. I take this back. You can edit this on your own, either just by like manually inserting information with something like, you can change any of these if you wanted to make, if you wanted to like suddenly get rid of name, you can drop, you can do all sorts of things. If you need to ever manually change your table, I suggest doing it in MyPHP admin versus trying to figure out like the SQL queries in general. When you first start your pset, you're gonna have to work in here. So get used to that. And then when you actually want to insert things into your table, I really wonder where that is, because there's, here it is. That's what I wanted. So if you go to SQL, you can actually see, as we see here, we have SQL queries, right? So if we wanted to select something, or if we wanted to insert something, we can do insert into of users, right? Backslash. One thing to know is if you're ever using this, you have to use like these kind of back apostrophes, which are typically, if you're on a Mac, right above tab. So a good thing to know. You could insert into users, and we have our values, right? So we have values, and our values in this case would just be, we only have an ID, so we could do one if we wanted. Okay, so that's kind of just like a brief little thing with SQL, but it might be more useful to actually look at some of the files in here. So we go to download, oh, not downloads. So just a quick walkthrough of like what's in each of these folders. It includes, we just have things that configure your browser. We have these constants and we have these functions. If you're interested in any of them, I kind of recommend looking at functions. One of them that is super useful, actually, is this one here, dump. So if you use this, it will actually just print out whatever variable that you like it to. So if you are having trouble figuring out like what this array looks like or what this data actually, how it's formatted, this is a great thing to use, especially when you are trying to, when you have a user with multiple stock, this is going to be something great to use because it might be formatted. I know at least for me when I did this pset, it was formatted in a way that I didn't quite expect. So I was trying to iterate over it and trying to manipulate it, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. So if you just dump it, it will print it out to the browser. and you can see exactly how it's formatted. It'll typically print it out as like an array with its keys and its values. So it can help there. It can also help to make sure that you're actually grabbing the data that you thought you were. So if you're like, my table definitely says there's a user with this ID, but when you go to dump the variable, it's not there, you obviously know that's like where an error is going to be. This is one of the best tools for debugging, in my opinion. And then there's like a couple other things here, but for the most part, that's the one I want to draw your attention to because it is very helpful. Public, what we have here is this is all of our CSS stuff. So CSS, fonts, our images, whatnot. This is all stuff that you don't have to modify. can you guys think about like if this has things like CSS and the fonts, would this be like a model or a viewer or a controller? It would be more of a view, right? This is handling all things, how things look. So if we open this here, we see that all that's happening here is we're rendering something, okay? So this would very much qualify as a view for this. So this is just taking some, it's calling some portfolio.php that we have, and it's passing in title and portfolio, and it's just rendering that. Actually, I take that back. This is a controller because render, remember, renders the view. So portfolio.php in this case would be your view. Sorry, guys. Portfolio.php is going to be your view, and this would just be your controller for that. And if we take a look at this last one here, templates. Templates are all of your views here. So if we look, obviously we see a lot of HTML here. So this one is just showing you like what the login page should look like. You notice we have some form groups, we have submit. Here's how you decide what is displayed on there. You have some button type equals submit, and then you have what you want it to display in button. So that's how you would make it show up as whatever you'd like. And we see here we have some username, some password, and when we actually hit submit, it's going to be some post, and it's going to post to what? What's the controller for this view? What, when we hit submit, what's going to be called? We know. Right here. So login.php, which is something you guys are going to implement. So you can always tell what's going to be called after you hit submit by this first line here, what the form action is. When this form is submitted, what action do we take? We call login.php. And we call it with this method of post, which has the hidden information. Okay? So this is your view. And then obviously if we went to login.php, we have it yet? Yeah. So as we see here, this has a lot more logic. It's all our PHP here. We're trying to see if it was get, if it was post, validating things, querying, all this stuff. Okay? So those are just kind of the three different things here. You don't have to change things like in template. Like, you'll be creating things in template possibly, but as far as like HTML or the styling of any of this goes, you can leave it as plain or as intricate as you'd like. Some people get like really into it and make like some pretty awesome websites. You don't have to do that. If you have time, it's a really cool thing. You can mess around with CSS and HTML and get a much better feel for it, but don't feel pressured to. There's plenty for you to do on the back end with implementing like login and register and all of these things. So hopefully that helps a little bit. Do you guys have any questions about anything we've gone over, any other resources? I will definitely send all of my example PHP code to you guys, and then feel free to take pictures or whatnot of this. Also, it's online. You can always just watch it again. So if that's it, everyone good? Yes?
We're doing select in SQL. The star means everything, right?
Yes.
And then if you don't have the star, if you want it to take from a specific row, then you just put the name of
the name of the row and what you want.
And then
the
date, the data.
Whatever you're looking for. Yeah. In the same way, if you do delete star from some table, it'll delete everything. So star is just a wild card for everything.
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. Well, have a great Monday, guys. I'll see you next week. Good luck on your PSET.